Build KZN Better. That summit will be held in Durban next week. We get the details from Public Works and Infrastructure MEC Martin Meyer. Welcome, Martin.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's wonderful to be with you today.
What solutions are going to be sought at this conference and who are the big role players?
Thank you. Yes, and solutions is exactly what we're looking for. The Department of Public Works and Infrastructure in KwaZulu-Natal owns over 10,000 properties across the province. The property market and real estate market has gone forward leaps and bounds in the last 10 years with technology, with green technology and all these things. And the government departments has been left behind. And we are just no longer a big play, even though we are the biggest single property owner. We have fallen behind in how we work with our buildings. And we have many unutilized and underutilized buildings. We realize that by ourselves, we cannot solve these problems and these challenges we face. So we're bringing back together community role players, traditional leaders, and especially experts in the real estate market, whether it be investors, real estate developers, and academia, to say, how can we work together on these properties? So we've been very select in who we invite. These are people who don't just come to meetings for the sake of it. These are people who understand that time is money and that government has limited of both. And that we want to work together. So we're going to look at our property portfolio as well as the portfolios of local governments within KZN and the national department, saying this is what we have. Come with fresh ideas, because government is not fantastic with coming with new ideas. So we're asking the communities who live with these buildings, we're asking the private sector, come with ideas, come with suggestions, come with what you think needs to change in this industry. And we will do our part then as a government department to make sure that we bring investment back into KZN, create jobs, and make sure our buildings serve the people of KwaZulu-Natal.
What have you done so far to repurpose abandoned buildings?
So I think one of the biggest things is a couple of weeks ago, we launched a new development through ACCC, a public-private partnership of the Esplanade Government Building, which is tens of millions of rands that we're going to do. And that's a fantastic development because it's a partnership with the private sector. So it minimizes our costs and risk. And what we're then going to do is once it's finished, we're going to move all these government apartments that we're currently leasing offices for at an exorbitant cost, move them back into our own building. This building will look beautiful. The plans are fantastic. It's going to be a stunning building, energy efficient, all these things that's very important to us right now. And we'll be saving on the cost of leases. So that's one of the things we've done. We're in the process. We're almost completed with handing over three buildings in Etiquette, three very bad buildings. The West Point Lodge, that is on the Esplanade, overlooking the harbor. The Siemens Institute building on Point Road, as well as the Palm Beach Hotel, which is a former abandoned hotel that now belongs to the department. And these buildings are being handed over to Itiquini, and then we're part of Itiquini making sure those buildings are then developed either through low-cost housing, emergency housing, or mixed-use housing to benefit the people. We've handed over properties already in the Umhlatuzi municipality, better known or known to some of your listeners maybe as Richards Bay. We handed over properties there for development of skill centers. We're handing over property in KwaMashu to the Department of Higher Education, where a TVET college is being developed. So we've already done quite a bit in making sure that the buildings that we do have is better purpose. We're almost complete with our audit as well. We realize we don't necessarily know what we own and we don't know the state of what we own. So we're doing a full audit of all our properties and we're doing it in-house, not paying outside contractors an exorbitant fee for it. And we had 43% completion on that. So we're making sure that we become much better at what we do and be held to account by the people because KwaZulu-Natal, who is our bosses in the end of the day.
And what is happening with the construction mafia?
Yes, so it's been quiet, but you know the construction industry does close down over December, so I'm not reading too much the fact that it's calmed down. But I do think there's two things that really need to be kept in consideration. On the one hand, I think largely because people like Minister McPherson, the President himself, the Minister of Police, and the MECs in all nine provinces has now shown political will to deal with it. So now SAPs are acting, NPA is acting. If we call the police saying that's people disrupting our sites, they show up, they make arrests. So I think that's helped. But on the other side of it, us speaking up has now encouraged and emboldened the private sector as well as communities and the legitimate business forums to also stand up and saying, hang on, we are peaceful. We do want to do legitimate business with you. And now we are feeling that we are will be protected and we can come forward. And I think that's also mean the community now take ownership of this project, which is fantastic because that is what's actually pushing the construction mafia out. So I think South Africa is standing together saying we've had enough of these organized criminals and we will now stand together to fight.
Now, meanwhile, the supply chain management director has been sacked. Please give us the details of that corruption scandal that led to the departure?
Yeah, so there were two main issues, and both of the reason why he was his services with us was terminated was for gross negligence of his duties as the supply chain manager director, because in his time we saw that up to 29 contracts were given to one company, and there's a lot of questions regarding those contracts that were given, and it also created the monopoly for one company in services that we cannot allow as a Department of Public Works and Infrastructure. There was also gross negligence with the management of the tools of trade, so cell phones especially, that we give to our officials. We've had over 50 former officials who still had their cell phones, and we were still paying for the contracts at hundreds of thousands of rands. Yes, it's absolutely shocking. And this person also gave himself four cell phones on the department's ticket that we paid for. I only have one, I promise you, as the MEC of this department. So those are some of the things that we realized. But whenever you have something big as this, where so many contracts are given to one company, obviously it raises a red flag asking, has anything criminal happened? Was there corruption? We are not, we don't have the capability to investigate those type of things. We can investigate our own officials and our own methods and structures, which we really have strengthened. But we've now approached the Hawks and said, listen, you can subpoena bank accounts, you can subpoena telephone records, we cannot. We've asked the Hawks to investigate this matter further, which they are now doing. And they will then advise us if there's a criminal case to be made. And if there is, we will also try and recoup some of the money that has been lost by the department.
And what was the value? The total value of those contracts?
We're looking at about just over R1 billion over a few years.
Now, what initiatives are being taken to ensure better transparency with tenders?
Yeah, so we are very excited that even before we found out about this specific matter, before we started investigating it, we already put in things in place to make sure that we secure and make sure that things like this doesn't happen. So all our bid committee meetings are now recorded audiovisually, something that I would have thought is logical, but apparently we are the first department in the country to do so. And we're very excited that other departments are now contacting us to assist them with doing themselves. And we'll be looking at using AI technology as well to assist us with all of this, so that we've made sure that these things will now happen transparently. And it's already working, because previously every bid went to appeal. If there's a tender going out, it would go to appeal. You could bet money on it. Now, since we've instituted that, we've had none of our tender processes go to appeal. So people now understand that it's a transparent process. There's no more room for hanky-panky in it, and they'll be cleaning it up. I think so, and the fact that we are now instituting consequence management and instituting it very strictly, I think it's also making people thinking twice before they try doing wrong things within our department. And I must also just mention, because it is something I'm very proud of, is that gone are the days that officials sat at home for a year or 2 years on full pay. This specific matter, it was exactly 60 days from the opening of the investigation till we finalized it and terminated these services. And that's what we think is the responsible thing to do as the custodians of the people of South Africa's money and properties.
Now, what interventions are being put in place to reduce your department's debt?
Yeah, so the province of KwaZulu-Natal is in a severe financial distress, as all 9 provinces within South Africa. At one stage, our deficit was at about R9 billion as a province for the whole provincial government. But a lot has been done by the MEC of Finance, MEC Rogers, and the cabinet to reduce that. And I'm very proud that Public Works is really leading the way in cost-cutting measures. We have been able to, through getting our client departments, we've managed to get the payment situation sorted, and we paid the contractors that we owe. We've got that debt down from almost 800 million that we owe to contractors to just over 200 million. That's still 200 million too much, but we are really doing a lot to try and make sure that contractors are paid. We've put in stringent cost-cutting measures. We've cost a cut on cell phones, as I said earlier, significantly by improving the way we do that. But even in my own office, as the MEC, the MEC's office, in the first 6 months of the last year, in my predecessor's time, the office of the MEC spent about R1.9 million on the cost of the office. That's for travel and all those type of things. In the 6 months I've been in office, it's been just over 200,000. which translates to a saving about 1.8 million rand in 6 months. And we will continue on that and make it even better as we learn how to work more efficiently. And we're using a lot of technology and those type of things. So we are really leading the way. Our debt situation has improved dramatically, as a department. We are looking at how we use cars, how we use everything is being studied very carefully by myself and by the officials. And we're making sure that we are a leaner department, but a much more efficient department.
Thank you. That was KZN MEC for Public Works and Infrastructure. Martin Meyer speaking to BizNews ahead of Build KZN Better conference next week in Durban. Thank you, Martin. And I'm Christine for BizNews.
Thank you so much.